Welcome to Plant Stories.
The modern, the old, and the crazy in between.
Myth or fact? The Norway maple produces a syrup sweet like a sugary maple, but not as sweet. It's more of a milky sap. That one's a fact, you guys. And that brings us into today's episode, the Norway maple.
Yeah, Norway maples are a tree. Surprise.
And they are invasive?
They are. The Norway maple is also known as Acer platanoides. Platanoides. Mm. Platanoides. Yep. There we go, guys.
Confidence.
As you know, I struggle with this literally every episode. Like, what does this name mean? And it's a tree that grows throughout Europe and pretty much, you know, all the way from like Norway to Turkey. It's there. And it's hanging out. But there, you know, that's its natural habitat.
Mm-hmm.
As far as quote unquote conservation goes, this plant exists in the category of least concern. So like there's, you know, like a ranking like, oh, this species is endangered. And then all the way on the other end of that spectrum is least concern. Like this plant will be fine.
So they're they're thriving.
Yeah, they're doing well. It's characterized by its flat 5 to 7 pointed leaves, and it has seed pods, which are also flat and have wings that spread out at a 180 degree angle. So no matter where you live, it's not uncommon necessarily to see kind of these different kinds of seeds that have little wings on them that kind of help them spread in the wind and stuff like that. A lot of those the actual seed pods on those are still rounded. So it's kind of an interesting trait that on this particular tree, the seed pod is actually flat. And that's kind of how you can tell the difference between this one and some of the other types of maples. And so the seed pods usually mature in September or October and stay on the tree through the winter. One of the major differences between the Norway maple and the sugar maple is that the sugar maple has a clear sap and the Norway maple has like a milky sap. So, you know, often like if you snap a leaf off the tree, you know, you'll see come out of the leaf a little bit of sap. And that's kind of how, one of the ways at least, you can tell what kind of plant you're dealing with. The earliest cultivation of the Norway maple in England was by James Sutherland, and it was for the Edinburgh Botanical Garden. So it was still kind of native in that area, but because it was native, people weren't necessarily like cultivating it or purposefully putting it in their gardens. It was just around.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the first recorded instance of someone specifically cultivating it. And then,
when was this?
So it was in the 1700s.
Okay.
A little bit later, not too much longer, in the United States, it was introduced by John Bartram of Philadelphia, and that was in 1752. Really specific records are not so prevalent in the 1700s about the cultivation of plants, because for most people it was a hobby and they didn't really feel the need to record it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was being used for practical purposes, and kind of what you knew about recording it would be like selling it or, you know, whatever you're doing. But we do know, you know, kind of also from our study into, you know, houseplants and things like that, that this was around the time where kind of there was a renewed interest a little bit, or starting to become a renewed interest in plants and actually cultivating them for humans to use them in all kinds of different ways. And so John Bartram was actually communicating with a person who lived in England, and also someone related to James Sutherland. And so it was, it kind of seems like, based off of these records, that he was sent a few of the seeds from this plant, and then he started growing them at his garden in Philadelphia. There are also some early mentions of the Norway maple in seed catalogs of the 1760s. In 1792, there's actually a record of George Washington ordering Norway maples from John Bartram's garden. And at that time, there were really only two main gardens that were kind of like greenhouse areas where people were, you know, producing seeds and selling them, because America was still a relatively new place, and that wasn't necessarily the most popular of professions. In the mid-1800s, it was considered one of the finest of all maples, and it was a very popular ornamental. People have always really loved this plant's, like, golden red leaves. There are definitely a couple of different varieties. The Norway maple specifically is also known kind of as the Crimson King. It gets these very deep, beautiful red leaves, which people just adore. In the 1870s, it started to appear in many pieces of botanical and gardening literature and was continuously mentioned as an excellent ornamental tree. It was especially considered optimal for lining streets and being used in parks. There was some mention of listed complaints about the Norway maple kind of outcompeting native plants, but overwhelmingly, it seemed that people were more pleased with it than they were upset by it.
I wonder if the relationship was tempered, because it's not like it's a grass. Like, it's not going to overwhelm an area in, like, a few weeks. It's going to take, like, you know, a couple decades. But by that point, it's like they're huge.
Yes, we will talk about that in a little bit. But it is true that early on people started to notice some issues. But I think overwhelmingly it is a plant that survives well in a variety of conditions. And so it is really great for cities and towns and things to plant. It grows relatively quickly, so you know, you don't have to wait ages for the plant to establish itself. And people really liked that about it. It's true that in many parts of the United States now, the Norway maple has found very habitable conditions in a lot of different parts of the country, primarily the Northwest, kind of like certain parts of the as long as it's not too dry, basically, they like those conditions. And they can still survive in areas that are rather dry with some type of irrigation or watering. But primarily in, like, the Northwest / West Coast, and then kind of some of Central North America, and then the Northeast and kind of the East Coast. So they've really taken over a lot of the country, or like spread across a lot of the country. And most places where the conditions aren't 100% favorable might even still allow for the tree to grow. It's believed that it's also kind of expanded even up towards Canada. And the biggest part, or the biggest reason that it might not necessarily be totally habitable conditions, is that they need a lot of moisture to, like, do really well. But that doesn't even necessarily stop them from sprouting and you know, at least growing to you know, a point of immaturity because they would need the additional water to gain maturity. Mm-hmm. This has also led Norway maples to be considered street trees, which are just trees planted in urban areas where other plants won't like the difficult conditions. Some arborists, even today, argue that even though this tree has invasive traits, it must be considered for its usefulness in this manner. And it primarily became that this was the go-to tree when Dutch elms died from Dutch elm disease in the 1930s and 40s. And at that time, after what seems like maybe not so much research, the Norway maple was used to replace it.
And this is like trees that are throughout cities, like the only green in the space.
Cities, neighborhoods, you know, whatever. They tend to put them in places where they think that other plants won't grow, basically.
Gotcha.
Because they're very attractive. So, you know, if you've got like an upscale neighborhood where people are going to want trees, they tend to plant these trees because they'll look nice. They'll create those beautiful leaves in the fall. And so they're, you know, considered very attractive. They grow really well in parks. So they just became, and before the Dutch elm disease, those were really much more popular. But Dutch elm disease just took out a lot of plants. And so, you know, where you used to have beautiful trees, if you have a giant ugly hole, you want to fill it.
Exactly.
But, you know, obviously, that being said, we got to talk about why this plant is invasive. And there are quite a few reasons why this plant is invasive. In fact, a surprising amount, considering that some people are like, you should ignore those things because we can use them in city and parks. Like many maples, this plant can produce a large amount of seeds. So a lot of maple trees are one of their, you know, adaptable traits is that they can produce a large amount of seeds, and whether or not those seeds are eaten or, you know, destroyed, they produce so many that typically they are still able to spread. And the Norway maple is no exception to that rule. It can spread far and wide with its many seeds. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is just the amount that they produce. The second reason really is that Norway maples are not often viewed as a food source by native animals. So, I mean, they see the seeds, but they don't try to eat them. And since that's one main way of destroying seeds and why trees need to make so many, instead, these go undisturbed and make many, many babies in a very short period of time.
You mentioned that the seed pod was flat. Is that because they're like tiny but a lot of seeds versus like a really big one?
No, it's the same as most of the, you know, spinner winged seeds, where it's like two seeds kind of connected together and like they have like a wing like shape on the outside. But they come in kind of these like little clusters. And I'm sure if you've ever been near a maple tree like this, you've probably seen, you know, there are so many of these on the ground near these trees. And most of the time what happens to a lot of them is that they get eaten or whatever, you know, or somehow destroyed or walked over. And because they're kind of missing out on that destruction, instead they just have the ability to kind of do whatever they want. They are also very invasive because they grow extraordinarily quickly, faster even than sugar maples. So sugar maples are well known for growing fast. Norway maples grow very fast. And they grow in low light conditions.
Nice.
So they don't even necessarily need a huge amount of light to really thrive. And oftentimes even they'll, you know, quote unquote hibernate. So they'll look like these very small and unassuming tree sprouts, and you'll kind of see them along the forest floor. They're not getting a ton of sun or anything, so they're relatively, you know, thin. And then they're just waiting, really, for another tree to die. And as soon as that happens, they're like, right up. And that's when, you know, they kind of suddenly become an issue. They take that opportunity for light and they grow pretty quickly. So they grow about 2 feet or more in a year, which for a tree is a lot. Yeah, especially when you're talking about a tree that's, you know, climbing to maturity. That is quite a feat for most trees.
Being able to hibernate is an awesome tree feature, though.
Yes, it definitely is. And, I mean, but that's kind of the other thing about it is you might not even know what kind of maple it is, really, when it's at that size. And if it's growing slowly, you know, you might make other assumptions about what it is, so you won't remove it while it's small. And then, you know, something will happen, or let's say that somebody destroys part of a forest to build, I don't know, housing developments or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's when all of a sudden they will just sprout up. It also has a very large leafy canopy. So when it does finally reach maturity, it completely blocks out light for other plant life, and it can grow up to 100 feet tall. So they become these massive trees with these dense, thick canopies of leaves, and they are just able to shade out anything below them. There are even people who complain that they're unable to get just grass to grow underneath these trees because the canopies are so dense. You'll just have like a dead zone all around the bottom of the tree.
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah. And this is especially true for Norway maples that grow in kind of groups. Sometimes if you have one tree and it's a standalone tree and there's nothing else around it, you know, you might only have a very small patch where things aren't growing. But if you have other trees around, or you have a bunch of other Norway maples in one area, I mean, you're just like blacking out that area for any of the plants underneath of it. The plant is not only shade tolerant, but it's also pollution tolerant. So where some other plants, and again, this is part of what makes it a good plant for cities, mm-hmm. where other plants might suffer because of air quality, this plant does not care. This tree's like, yeah, whatever. Whatever you got,
I'm gonna take it. I'm the ultimate filter.
Yeah. And so we've talked about how their canopy is very dense, but their root system is also dense. But most trees, or a lot of trees, have a relatively dense root system, especially compared to some other varieties of plants. But the main difference that makes this outcompete other plants is that its root system is dense but shallow. And because it's so shallow, it stops water from really seeping into the ground and takes it before it can get to the roots of anything that has roots below it.
So selfish.
Yeah. So it can definitely affect other surrounding trees or other, you know, large plant systems where, you know, all of a sudden they're not getting the same water or nutrients because it's being completely dried out.
Well, that definitely makes sense why there's no grass growing around it.
Yeah, for sure. The tree is also very cold tolerant, so like a lot of other trees, it sheds its leaves, you know, for the winter. But the plant survives very well at cold temperatures, which is why it's able to reach places like Canada. And do very well in areas like the Northeast, which is where we live, and we know that we have seen Norway maples around.
For sure.
The tree also has some trouble healing off wounds, which can cause the weakening of the tree and these like rot pockets. And while that doesn't necessarily make it invasive per se, these weakened trees can often topple other trees around them if they fall in storms and things like that. Can also damage homes or property, especially if you're talking about, you know, this is something that you've planted in the city. If, you know, you have a hurricane or something and 10 of the out of the 15 trees on your street have a wound that causes a rot, you know, you're looking at a lot of downed trees. The shallow roots can also damage man-made structures like pavement and sewer lines kind of thing. Because they're a little bit closer to the surface, they tend to pop up those things a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Roots are not as deep, so a little easier to push them over.
Exactly. The Norway maple also houses much fewer species of native caterpillars, which sounds like not a big deal, but it does reduce a lot of the food sources for native birds. So if it does outcompete the other plants in the area, then often it becomes an issue for native birds that can cause them to become endangered. Or, if not all the way to, like, dangerously endangered, it can at least very severely affect the population of native birds.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it is a breeding habitat for the Asian longhorned beetle. So the Asian longhorned beetle is another foreign beetle brought from another land. And it is also considered invasive. And basically, the main issue with this insect is that it significantly reduces North American hardwood forests. It has a tendency to kind of destroy and eat those trees. So it's been found that females live longer and produce more fertile eggs on these plants.
What do you mean they eat those trees?
I mean, they eat up a lot of their leaves, and then they basically, I mean, they don't live there the same way that they live on this tree.
Mm. Oh, I gotcha.
But
they'll eat all the leaves.
Yeah.
I was like, they're beetles. What are they eating? Do they look cool? Did you look at a picture of them?
I don't like bugs that much. I mean, they're pretty much intertwined with plants. You can't talk about plants without talking about beetles. Sorry.
I'm looking at some pictures of an Asian longhorn beetle, and for a person who don't mind bugs, they look pretty cool. They're like black with like splattered white. It almost looks like paint. And they have these huge, big, curling horns.
Yeah, if that thing came near me, I would smash it.
Yeah, it's got like blue legs. It's really interesting looking.
And honestly, now I would feel better about it because I know that they're invasive.
Exactly. <true rain.
laughs> Like, sometimes I'm really hesitant to do things like kill spiders or, like, centipedes or things like that because I'm like, I don't like it, but it's good for the environment, so I should leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can totally get rid of these beetles. I mean, your efforts might be futile. They seem to reproduce very quickly.
It's true. So, yeah, in all those ways, this plant is pretty invasive. It definitely has positives.
Doesn't. And
it's good. Well, it's good that it can be used in these spaces. It is a hardy plant. You know, I think we as humans are always looking for hardy plants because we do, like, want to cultivate plants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially in cities and stuff, sometimes it can be so hard to find things that live well and reduce pollution and things like that. And so definitely it has some advantages there.
So I'm guessing it doesn't make any, like, maple syrup that we would eat.
So it does make syrup. It's not necessarily the prime maple for making maple syrup. The syrup that you'll get from it is not as sweet as syrup from sugar maples. And you will get a much lower ration of syrup from the tree. But it can be tapped in the early spring and you will get syrup from it.
Okay. So make some nice furniture, get a little scissor.
Yep. It has been often used for things like furniture, instruments, and flooring. Instruments, a lot of the typically made ones are like violins and guitars that are made with maple.
Nice.
But its primary use is still kind of as an ornamental tree. It's just considered to be a hardy tree, a very attractive tree, a very easy tree to grow. And so despite kind of the things that we've listed, it's still pretty popular. And the main danger really is it getting into things like forests where it can really, like, take over an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Versus necessarily, like, having one in your backyard.
Well, I'll have to take a picture of the one in my backyard and we'll see if it's what I think it is. We'll properly identify it. It seems purposefully planted like an ornamental tree, so now that's really making me think that that's what it is.
Yeah, I definitely could see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your mini tip?
I mean, I would say if you have this in your yard or something, don't panic.
Good advice.
But it is a good thing to, you know, just look out for. And it's also, I think, just a good thing to know. There are so many trees and things around us that, you know, we don't necessarily know the difference between maples. Mm-hmm. You know I couldn't tell you the difference between all the different maples. There are quite a few varieties. But sometimes kind of knowing what's in your backyard, you are able to know, like, what it might be susceptible to, how it might affect you or your property or the other wildlife in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike some of the things that we've talked about, although there are reasons that they've been removed in forests and things like that, the Norway maple has, like, medium concern, it seems, for it. And I think that is for a viable reason, that it is a good plant in the right circumstances. But just like any plant, when it's taken out of its natural habitat, there's always some risks associated with that. And so it's just good to be aware of those risks and kind of take a look and see what's in your own yard.
And a look out for beetles.
And to look out for beetles. Get those beetles away from me.
Do you know what we're going to talk about in our next episode?
I don't. No idea. Sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. It's been a busy life for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it will be super interesting and mm-hmm. invasive.
Yeah, definitely super awful invasive.
Well, I mean, everything we talk about has positives and negatives. And I do think it's important to point out when it comes to the plants that we're talking about that, you know, all the plants, these habits that we're talking about, we're primarily focusing on North America, I think, because right. we, as a mixing pot of cultures and things, have brought a lot of different plants or ideas about, you know, cultivating plants here that have had some negative effects. But it is something that happens in a lot of places, and things that are normal to us here can be invasive somewhere else. So it's just interesting to know and remember that the negatives that we talk about here, you know, these plants have a place. It's just not necessarily here.
Yeah. Often the place is in their name, too. Very convenient.
Yes. The Norway maple should probably be mostly in Norway.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all for joining us on our latest episode of Plant Stories and Invasive Plants, the Norway maple. If you enjoyed this episode, if you learned something new, just enjoy hanging out with us, make sure to share with somebody, leave a comment, chit-chat, and join us next week when we learn all about another invasive plant. Bye!
Bye!